finding Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to be looking. That's going to be the theme of our discussion for the theme of our discussion for the next, well, till the end of the year, really. Well, and I it's also coincides with the fact that this is the Christmas season. So I thought, well, let's look at the life of Jesus. But what we're going to be doing is we're going to look at not just the birth of Jesus Christ, like you'd have in the Nativity, where you have, which is a very popular play that people perform during this season. So we're not just going to look at the birth of Jesus, that he was born in a particular place, which is great. We're going to go back to the very beginning, and we'll be asking ourselves a number of questions. And those are the questions that we're going to try to answer over the next 4 or so weeks. So one of the questions would be, why did Jesus really come? Why do we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ? I know some people say, well, Jesus wasn't born in December. Some people said he was born in the summer, but that's an entirely different topic. Whether he was born in December, whether he was born in January, that's not the point here. The point is that whatever date he was born, we celebrate him anyway. Do you understand? So we can pick any day, but everybody has picked, well, we've agreed on December. But why do we celebrate the birth of Christ? Why was Christ even born in the first place? Why didn't we just carry on without the birth of Christ? You know? So those are the things that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. But today, we're going to start from what I've called the beginning. We want to go back to the very, very, very beginning of time. And what I'm going to try and do in the next 4 weeks is to give us a good, wide context of where the birth of Jesus Christ fits in. And where life fits in all of this. So that each time after this series that you think about the birth of Jesus Christ, or each time you think about life, you'll be able to put it in context. Do you understand? So that's the context that we're going to be looking at. So today I'm going to be looking at the beginning of time. This will give us context to why Jesus came, the things that surrounded the birth of Jesus Christ. He was born by Virgin Mary. Herod tried to kill him during that time. So many things happened, but these things were not just things that happened by chance. There was a reason that all these things happened. But if we just look at the Christmas story and just focus on the nativity, it's likely that we might not see the significance of all these things. So that's what I just want to try and do over the next couple of weeks or next few weeks. So today we're going to look at the beginning, and we'll look at three things today. We'll look at, why did Jesus come? Why was he born? The second thing that we'll look at is, we'll look at the devil, sin, and death entering into the world. And the third thing that we'll look at today is God's plan to save the world. God's plan to save the world. But before we start, I just want to read a short passage just to give us the reference to the story of the nativity. And we'll look at, for that one, we'll look at the book of Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. We can read it together on the screen. And it says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, where is the one that has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. So this is the popular story that we know of wise men who came from the east, the Bible says, to Jerusalem. And when they came, they were looking for Jesus. Now, we'll look at this in depth probably next week or the week after. These were people who left what they were doing from a very, very far country. There were no planes, there were no trains. at those in that time or at that time. So they traveled on probably on horseback or camel back or something. But it was a long journey. And the Bible tells us that the only thing they knew was that there was a star that appeared, and that star signified the birth of Christ. They were looking for Jesus Christ. So that's the background of the story. But we want to jump back thousands of years before this time. Thousands of years back before this time to give us context. I want us to turn to the book of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 8 to start with. Oh, no. Sorry. Let me just flip back. I want to look at why Jesus came. Let's look at John chapter 3, verse 16. I'll look at three things. So I want to establish why Jesus came. Then it will fit into the story. We'll then go back to Genesis. So why did Jesus come? I'll look at three things. The first one is in the book of John chapter 3, verse 16. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will have life and will not perish. If I read this version, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Underline that word, eternal life. So this tells us that if Jesus came to give eternal life, what that implies to me, or all that implies, is that we are missing eternal life. That means something is missing. And it is that missing eternal life that Jesus came to give. Why did Jesus come? Number one, to give us eternal life. Now, why did he have to give us eternal life? What does that really mean? The second thing that I'll look at is Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Why did Jesus come? The second thing, the angel said here, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. So the second thing we see here, the angel, this was just before Jesus Christ was born, and an angel appeared to her husband, Joseph. Joseph was thinking in his mind, because Mary had told him that, look, I'm pregnant, and this pregnancy is from God. And her husband was wondering, how come? Are you the person that the Bible spoke about? While he was thinking about all these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, you will have your wife Mary will have a son. You shall call his name Jesus. And the angel said something. He said, he will save his people from their sins. So we see the second thing that Jesus came to do, to save people from sin. I like that word. The first thing, he came to give life. We saw that in John chapter 3, verse 16. The second thing we're seeing here says that he will save people from their sins. Now, bear that in mind. Sins. Saving people from their sins. Why do people have to be saved from their sins? What does that really mean? Put a marker on that one. Now, the third thing we want to look at, why Jesus came, then I'll flip back to the book of Genesis in the second part. First John chapter 3, verse 8. First John chapter 3, verse 8. The third thing that I'm highlighting here that Jesus came to do. First John chapter 3, verse 8. Okay, let me flip to it from. I just want to make sure I. Okay, we've got it on the screen. First John chapter 3, verse 8. We look at the third thing that Jesus came to do here. It says, he who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. That's the A part. The part I want to focus on is the second part. It says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of, was to destroy the devil's works. It says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works. Now, so we begin to see three things here. We see that in John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says that God gave Jesus so that he could give us eternal life. That means we're missing eternal life. The second thing we see is that the Bible says that in Matthew 1, 20, 21 that we read, that Jesus came to save people from their sin. Do you understand? So we see that that means if he has come to save us from a sin, there's something happening here. That means there is sin in this life. Now, I'm not talking about just sinning. I'm talking about the word sin as a noun that's present. Then the third thing is to destroy the works of the devil. So what that tells us is that the devil is working on the earth. Three things. So bear that in mind. Now, the next thing I want us to look at is looking at these three things: sins, the devil, and life. Why did Jesus have to come to give us these things? Now, let's look at the beginning. And this is where we go back to the book of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. I'm going to highlight three things in this part that I've called the beginning. The first thing we see here is that God gives a command. The very first command he gives man. He says, look, do not eat of this tree. You can eat any other thing you want in this garden, but don't eat of this particular tree. We'll look at that in a minute. The second thing we see here is man disobeys God. The very first disobedience of man. Then we'll look at Satan gaining access to the world because of this disobedience. So the first one, Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. It says, now the Lord had planted a garden in the east, in Eden. And there he put the man he had formed. God created man. He made a beautiful garden. He put man in this garden to look after the garden. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Now, God now gives him the command. He says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And God commanded the man, the very first command that God gives man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Let's flip to the next one, 17. You're free to eat any tree in the garden. But verse 17 says, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. When you eat of it, you will surely die. Now, God has given a command to Adam. And says, look, don't eat this tree. Eat any other thing you want. But this particular one, don't touch it. God now says, the day you touch it, the day you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. There's no doubt about that. So we see the stage is set. The next thing we want to look at is this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. The disobedience of man. And we now see what happens here. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. And I'm just going to read the story. It's a popular story, but I just want to put it in context here. Now, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Conversation starts. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. It says, you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. Let's look at verse 5 to 7. It says, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her. and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. All right. So we see a scenario here where God said, don't eat of this fruit. The day you eat it, you will surely die. What does Adam and his wife do? What do? They tricked by the devil, who the Bible refers to as the serpent in this case. They eat this tree, the fruit from this tree. And the Bible says immediately they ate the tree from the fruit from this tree. Their eyes were open. Now, God said something to them. He says, the day you eat this fruit, you will surely die. Now, they've eaten the fruit, and the Bible says their eyes were open. Did they die? Someone said no. Did they die? You guys, it's not a trick question. Well, Adam lived over 700 years more, physically. I mean, he lived such a long time. So, his wife. But they did die. They died spiritually. Now, when the Bible says death, the Bible refers to death to different types of death. There, I can highlight three types of death. There is the physical death that man dies on earth. You know, you live to a certain age on earth and you die. Natural. That's called the physical death. There is what the Bible calls the second death in the book of Revelations, where the Bible says that at the end of time, everybody will wake up, the ones that died physically, and he will judge them. In the book of Revelations chapter 20, we don't have to turn there. And they will now be thrown, for the people who do not know Christ, who are not born again, they will be thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death. All right. The third kind of death that God referred to at the beginning is spiritual death. Spiritual death. So Adam and Eve died spiritually. They were cut off from God. So they were dead to God. So even though they were alive physically, something had happened to them. They had experienced what is called spiritual death. It is this spiritual death that separates man from God. Do you understand? And the end of this spiritual death is the second death. So everybody that is born experiences the spiritual death, even though they're alive physically. Do you understand? So that's the first thing that happened to them. Their eyes were open and they died spiritually. Do you understand? Now, if we look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Romans chapter 5, we're looking at the beginning. God gave a command and this Adam and Eve disobeyed and they died. Now, the other thing is this, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all men because all have sinned. Now, what is this saying to us? This is saying this. When the Bible talks about sin a lot of the time, there, what I would call sin, as if I can say a force or a personality, and the sins that men commit. So someone kills another person, shoots them or something. That's the person committing sin. But there is a difference between committing sin and sin itself. Do you guys get what I mean? There is something called sin as a personality. It is that sin that came into the world. That is what the Bible is referring to here. It says that when man sinned at the beginning by disobeying God, what happened was this. It gave access to sin to enter into the world. And everyone that is born because of this sin inherits it automatically. It's just like, for example, someone gives birth to a child. That child will inherit your characteristics. It doesn't depend on whether they've done anything good or bad, you know. So say, for example, you have blue eyes or green eyes or brown eyes. Your son or your daughter might have blue eyes. Did they choose the blue eyes? No. Did they do anything to deserve the blue eyes or brown eyes? No. Do you understand? It's just something that they inherit. Now, that's the difference between inheriting sin and sinning. Do you understand? There's a big, big, big difference. So when the Bible says that all have sinned, the Bible is not referring to the fact that you sin every day. You make mistakes every day. No. It's saying that everyone that is born has inherited a sin nature. And how did that happen? From the very beginning. Do you understand? That's what the Bible refers to as sin here. It is sin that has caused the problems that we are experiencing in the world now. It is sin that has entered the heart of every man, every woman that is born, that causes man to do certain things. Yes, we have our free will, but before Adam sinned and before sin came into the world was perfect. People weren't shooting themselves. There were no wars. People were not falling sick. But because at the beginning, the sin, the disobedience of Adam happened, it gave sin entrance into the world. And it is the entrance of sin into the world that has caused the problems that we have now. It's the entrance of sin into the world that causes sickness, that's causing disease, causing death, causing man to kill man, woman to kill woman. All these things, is an inherited thing that every man, woman or boy that is born inherits. And it is the nature of sin in us that we inherit that causes us to sin. Do you understand that? That is what happened at the beginning. Now, it might seem, I don't know if it seems far-fetched, that, hang on, something that happened thousands of years ago, how come it's affecting me now? Well, it's the same way that your grandparents that lived, hundreds of years ago, maybe they were from England, from Scotland, from the Caribbean, from India or somewhere. Whether you realize it or not, you've inherited some of their genes. You know? So if your great-grandfather had curly hair, maybe you have curly hair now. You never met him, did you? Maybe if your grandfather was a real singing musician or something, you inherited his voice. Did you meet him? No. Do you even know your great-grandparents? No. However, you've inherited something from them, not by choice, but by birth. So the Bible says sin is inherited by everybody, by birth. So we see here that the Bible says that sin entered into the world. Not only did sin enter into the world, death entered into the world as well. Spiritual death entered into the world, and physical death also entered into the world. Do we see that? Now, the third thing that also happened is this. We've talked about sin and death entering into the world because of man's disobedience. Now, the other part that now happened is this, which is the third thing that happened at the beginning, is Revelations chapter 12, verse 9. Revelations chapter 12, verse 9. Something also happened in the beginning. Satan gained access into this world because of that sin. It says, the great dragon that was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. So we begin to see something here as well, that because of the sin of man at the beginning, it also gave Satan access into the world. It's just like, for example, you're in your house, right? And all your windows are locked. Do you understand? Your windows are locked, your doors are locked, and a thief wants to come into your house. And the thief comes and knocks at your door. Do you understand? The thief knows that you have security devices around your house, so they can't break in. The thief knows that he can't break down your door because it will trip off all the security devices. So what does the thief do? He knocks at your door and he starts telling you, How are you? Can I come into your house, please? And you say, why should I come into your house? I don't know you. And he says, oh, I'm a really nice person. I want to do, you know, and he starts to tell you stuff. Do you know at that point, if you shut the door, that's the end. The thief doesn't come into your house. But if you listen to the thief and he's able to convince you and you open that door, he comes into your house. You have now given him full access into your house. Do you understand what I mean? That's the same thing. Satan was lurking around the earth. He did not have access to do whatever he wanted on earth. But man had that access. And man opened the access to Satan through disobedience and through that sin. Because of that, Satan has access into the world. He's now doing all sorts of things in the lives of people. Do we get that? So that's that part. Now, we see, if we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It says that, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and in sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. And the part I want to read is, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The Bible tells us that Satan is at work on the earth. The Bible refers to the fact that Satan deceives the whole world. Satan is at work on earth. So the reason why I'm taking time to highlight all these things is so that when we begin to talk about why Jesus came, we can put the pieces together. We can begin to understand why Jesus came. We can begin to understand the circumstances that surrounded the birth of Christ. Why Herod wanted to kill him. Why certain things happened during that time. It all ties to the beginning. So we see that at the beginning, man sinned. Sin came into the world. Death came into the world. The devil had access to the world. And it is that problem from the beginning that we're seeing now. That is why when people tell me, why are people suffering in China? Why are people dying in East Africa? Why are earthquakes happening? This is the reason. It is happening because sin has entered into the world. Satan has entered into the world and is ripping havoc, influencing men and women as well to wreak havoc. Do you get what I mean? So this is what happened at the beginning. But at the beginning, God also said something. When man sinned and sin entered into the world and Satan had access into the world, God immediately set something in order. Immediately, God put a plan in order. And that plan is what has been happening from the beginning of time. And that's the plan that is going to end at the end of time. What did God say? We'll look at that in a minute. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. So we see a scenario here where Satan, sin, and death entered into the world because of the disobedience of man. God immediately put the plan to remedy it in place straight away. And that plan is here. It says, so the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. Now, serpent here is referring to Satan, who took the form of the serpent and talked to Eve. It says, you will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. Now, this is the part that I want to read. It says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Now, it says between your offspring and her offspring. But he makes a qualification. He says he will crush your head and you will strike at his heel. So here, God makes a plan for salvation. He makes a plan to redeem man. And this statement that we've read here is the plan of God. So God said to the devil at the very end, at the very beginning, that look, you have done this, you have deceived man, you have let sin enter into the world, you have let death enter into the world, Satan has entered into, you have entered into the world. However, I'm going to do something. I'm going to bring someone. And this person will crush your head. This person will destroy your power. This person will redeem man. Do you understand? So this is the plan of salvation that God outlined. So from the very Garden of Eden, God said, even though sin has entered into the world, even though death has entered into the world, even though Satan has now had access into the world, I have a solution. And that solution is that someone is going to come, and that person is going to crush the head of Satan, destroy the power of sin, and redeem man to God. Do we get the picture? So the reason why I'm going through all this is to give us context so that when we begin to look at the birth of Christ, and even if you look at the life of Christ, it is fulfilling Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. It is to fulfill the plan of God for every man, to redeem man from sin, to redeem man from death, to redeem man from the devil. Do you understand? That is what Christ came to do. That is the whole story from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, telling us the story of redemption, God saving man. However, it didn't stop there. All the things that were going to happen, the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, the life of Christ, God began to speak them through prophets. Even before Jesus was born, God began to speak through his prophets about where Jesus would be born, how Jesus would be born, the circumstances within which Jesus would be born. Do you understand? Now, the first thing, the Bible now tells us about the birth of Christ. If you look at Micah chapter 5 verse 2, this was hundreds of years before Jesus was born. It says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small amongst the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from the ancient time." This now begins to prophesy, begins to foretell the birth of Christ, that Christ will be born in Bethlehem hundreds of years before he was born. Now, let's look at Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. So, before Jesus was born, before he came to the earth, God began to speak. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel." Now, God begins to tell us hundreds of years before that, look, a virgin will be with a child and a son will be born. Hundreds and hundreds of years before this time. Do you understand? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. He now begins to tell us, Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. It says, "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So we begin to see that Jesus is all of this. He's saying that Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So the Bible begins to tell, before the birth of Christ, all the things that will happen. Do you understand? Now let's look at Luke chapter 1 verse 32. Luke chapter 1 verse 32. Luke chapter 1 verse 32. It says, "He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David." So what am I saying here, just to round this up? I'm saying that the coming of Jesus Christ is not by chance. It's not just a random thing that happened. It was to fulfill the plan of God at the beginning for the redemption of man, to redeem man from sin, from the devil, and from death. And even before he came, God began to speak years and years, hundreds of years before, that Jesus will be born. This is how he will be born of a virgin. These are the things that he will do. Amen. So that is the beginning. Now, at the end of the series, we'll look at something. The same way Jesus came as a child, Jesus is going to come back. This time, not as a child. And that is going to be at the end. So what I want to tell us to think about today is this. Looking at just all the evidence here, not particularly about the stories, God said something at the beginning. He said Jesus will be born. Jesus was born. Jesus will do this, this and that. All that has happened. I can guarantee you the same thing Jesus said, God said will happen at the end, that Jesus is coming back. That will happen as well. Why? Because by the evidence of science and by the evidence of the Bible, if the things that Christ, God has said will happen, have happened to the letter, over 100 prophecies fulfilled to the letter, I can tell you the coming of Christ will happen. We don't know when it will happen, but it will happen. So this is just to give us a background so that when we begin to look at the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, we can have context of why all that happened. Amen. Let us just rise up together and just pray.